Hey, Scott O.
I just want to thank you for this Sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash in my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1¼-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1¼-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
I'm Tim Yancey, inviting you to explore the fascinating realm of the paranormal. Ghosts and hauntings, Bigfoot, UFOs, and alien abductions. Join me live every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. with the foremost authorities and experts in the world regarding the mysterious realm of the unexplained. The Encounters Paranormal Radio Series, as heard on WBZT 1230 AM. EncountersBroadcasting.com.
Share a recent experience where I strongly believe that I encountered a shadow person.
was January 5th, 2046.
I just, you know, I want to find an explanation for it. I want to rule it out as, you know, something that was logical.
There are many things we have yet to learn about and understand. Join us here at Supernatural Existence and learn about the many mysteries of the universe. Feel free to subscribe via any of your favorite podcast directories, including iTunes, or check us out on the Supernatural Existence website at www.globeye.com. The mysteries are waiting to be understood.
I really want to see something supernatural with my own eyes, not hear it or think I heard it or anything like that, actually see it with my own eyes, capture it on camera, hear something weird or something like that.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Indeed, you are listening to Ghostly Talk Live with your hosts, Doug, Scott, Ellen, Bonnie. Thank you so much.
Thanks for reiterating that, Doug.
Well, you know, can't be too thorough.
Been a fun night so far, I have to say. It's been great here, man.
High energy. We're going to keep that
more
up.
Fun.
Yeah, we're going to keep that up with the next hour.
Yeah.
Kayla Ambrose is a noted metaphysical teacher, intuitive speaker, author, and this is where it gets really good, talk show host.
Ooh.
So this next hour is...
We love talking to talk show hosts because, like I said...
It's going to fly by.
No, we have a good time, yeah.
She lectures on esoteric teachings, ancient myths, developing intuition and psychic ability, beauty and peace through traditional feng shui, the meaning of abundance and prosperity in the universe, crystals and gemstones, sacred symbols. Sounds like my reading list, actually. dream interpretations, celebrating the seasons,
yeah.
Soul speak, and wise woman wisdom, the divine feminine. The website is
I need this woman wisdom thing figured out real quick, so we're getting right on that.
Right after. Thanks, Bonnie. Oh, nice you could join us. The website is exploreyourspirit.com. That's all run together, no spaces, no hyphens. Exploreyourspirit.com. Mm. Kayla, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. Yeah, and we have a lot we're going to talk about here. Can we get into that, though, please? I need
the divine feminine?
Yeah, I'd like to hear about that. I mean, sorry, I'm kind of flying off the path already, but hey.
Yeah, you just took a left turn at Albuquerque.
Oh,
I was just there last weekend, but let's go ahead and do that.
What's this all about? Let's just get right into it. I'm going to go wide open with you. Wise woman wisdom. It's an interesting, it's a nice tongue twister.
It's in 5 minutes or less. You want me to explain women to you?
Please!
He's been looking for that for a long time.
No, I mean, wise woman wisdom. I mean, this is an interesting topic. I mean, what
sure.
is this all about? Yeah.
A wise woman wisdom and a divine feminine, both of those, are just a return to the balance of what we used to have.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about one or the other. People tend to look at things black or white,
mm-hmm.
Masculine, feminine. Really what is trying to be achieved here is more of a balance of both. We need both, just like we have summer and winter and yin and yang, whichever way you want to look at it, both have their purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as humans, tend to go out of balance and go too far in one direction or the other. And when you bring back wise women wisdom, in history that was used for many things at times, including natural ways of living, a more peaceful way of cohabitating, we seem to have gone a little far in the other direction. We're a little too focused on war and destruction, and if something doesn't work right, let's just destroy it and start over,
mm-hmm.
rather than trying to find a balance where maybe there's another way to look at things and to work around it.
Yeah.
In ancient history, in the Celtic times and throughout Europe, you had wise women that really were like the healers of the villages. They knew how to create medicine with herbs. They knew how to care for people in a more natural way.
Mm-hmm.
And then during a period of patriarchal takeover, which would be too long to describe in short, but had to do with religion and politics and control, many of those women were described as something else, often sometimes as witches or other things, and systematically destroyed rather than to keep that
mm-hmm.
thing because it didn't fit within a certain agenda. The divine feminine is just a respect for the feminine in all aspects, and that includes the feminine side in men as well, which is a whole other topic, but it's about honoring that part within each of us, because we are supposed to all, as humans, be living in a balance of those two within us as well.
Yeah, you know, and I've said that too, I mean, in all seriousness too, because people, you know, I Doug, I know we've talked about this,
yeah.
when people see me walk into a room, they're like, oh, that's a...
big scary hairy guy, you know, and all this stuff. You know what?
I mean, but I you're not like that. There is that part to you, but there's also the
candle loving, clean, you know, daily cleaning, you know, total, you know, clean freak, you know, nice scents in the air, beautiful things all around me person also, you know, so there is that. I'm getting in touch with my sensitive side. I'm getting my stuff together, right? You know, and I think
exactly, you know, there. And I'm not a feminist. I just want to say that I love men. I love men very much, and I like men to be big and strong and be men. I don't want them to be anything but that. When you're embracing that softer side, that just comes out, and men do it in their way, which is different than women. But you know, I bet you're a wonderful hugger and very compassionate at times, and you know, to see a big strong man hold a baby or be affectionate, that's beautiful.
Absolutely, he is. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I've given you a hug before, Doug.
Yes, you have.
But give me lots of hugs.
Amber tells me you're fabulous at giving hugs. So there.
Oh, okay.
You
know, he has a tendency to tense up during hugs.
What? What are you talking about? Now we're going to analyze my hugs.
You do. Like, I can hug Doug, and I can hug him for days, and he will not let go. You're like the quick double pat on the back away.
It's like, one, two, three, four.
Hey,
that's
look,
it.
I'm a busy guy,
yeah.
All right? I don't have time to sit here and hold on to people for a half an hour. Let's get it out of the way and get on to business.
I'd be willing to bet differently. I bet you feel things so strong emotionally that you actually have to put a little bit of a wall around you to keep from feeling all that, because I think you probably are in touch with people's energies at a level that maybe you don't even talk about.
There you go.
We're getting too far into this, and I have to stop.
I want to know all about your psyche right now.
Yeah, here we go. No, thank you. No, I
but
appreciate
it does sound
that,
like divine feminine and the wise woman wisdom is something that we've just normally been talking about throughout.
I think it's something natural with all
balance
of us too. You know,
in all things.
Yeah,
balance is so important.
Yeah, totally. You know, and I don't want to get too far on the soapbox here, but you know, I tell people this all the time, even in your financial life, your daily life, your business practices, all this stuff. Balance is such an important thing. Especially in your personal life too. You know, you have to find. You know, you have to understand these subtleties, and I do the best I can with my better half. Sometimes I screw it up royally, like most people do, but I'm trying. I think there's a lot of people that don't try. That's the problem. A lot of people they shut it down and they don't worry about it because their buddies might think that they're less of a man and stuff like that. I think that's total garbage. It's rubbish. There's a lot more to it than just like, well, hey man, look, you know what I'm talking about, Doug.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
I know people like that.
Yeah, and they shut down. And
I know you know people like that.
Yeah, totally, yeah. So, all right, I understand that better. Thank you so much, Kayla.
But it doesn't give you the secrets as to why Amber acts the way she does, or Bonnie.
Amber don't really give me any flack. I'm not going to complain. Neither does Bonnie. They're both pretty cool. We are a pretty non-dramatic relationship. It's fun. You know, in your book, Kayla, I want to get into this. Or Doug.
This is what I wanted to get to. Yeah, immediately, but we talked about the intro.
It just grabbed me, and I had to latch on. Onto it. In your book, though, Kayla, you mentioned that mystery schools have been around since the time of Lemuria and Atlantis. Atlantis, I know Doug saw the word Atlantis
big,
and he freaked
big,
out.
Big Atlantis freak, yep.
Where were the most famous of these mystery schools? If we can ask that, and I'd like to know what they're teaching also. And,
right,
that's what we're going to try to find out.
And are there any around now?
Yeah, are they
I
still?
Mean, what are mystery schools? Tell us about them.
Well, mystery schools have. In fact, they're even older than those times. They've always been in existence in one form or another, and they were around the course in those times, like Atlantis. The ones that we would connect with most at this point in time in humanity would be in ancient Egypt, ancient Greece. You've perhaps heard of the oracles of Delphi, the temples that were in Egypt, in Greece, and of course in India. They were in Babylon. They were in Samaria. They have always existed and still do exist in various parts of the world.
Are they in Michigan? I'm sorry. I can't.
No, they're not.
I
don't think they're here, Kayla. But no, they're.
I'm sorry. I just had to lighten it just a bit because we were talking.
So they're all over the world, though. That's basically what you're saying, Kayla.
Yes. They always have been, they always do, even depending on the state of times, whether they're larger or smaller. Obviously in Egypt and Greece at one time they raised to a certain pinnacle where there was more of an interest in the spirituality, and that was raised to a height where people took it as much interest, their spiritual path as well as their physical path or what they made or who they were. They looked at that part more, again, in balance between the spiritual and the emotional and the physical and the mental than other times in our culture where we seem to put a price higher on one or the other. I think the Greeks probably did a good example of this with the Olympics and understanding the body and the physical, while also the philosophy and training the mind, while also exploring their spiritual side as well.
And
emotionally as well.
I never thought of the Olympics that way.
Principles.
Yeah, I never thought of the Olympics.
Well, the Olympics are, yeah.
It, I mean, it is that.
It's a
strength of character.
A festival of, yeah, it's not only physical, it's also mental training. I mean, you have to go through all of it. Kayla, the thing is, all these things, ancient Greece.
All these these cultures.
Yeah, ancient Egypt, we've got. All this, these sound more like places of power, or at least places
yeah.
and times
yeah.
of power.
I was thinking that
so,
too.
Like, at one time, obviously, we think, for example, the one that will leap to everybody's mind, Stonehenge. Like, right now, it's a field with some rocks in it. But at one time, I think it was probably, like, a super place of power.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, in existence, we've got probably Sedona, Arizona, for
mm-hmm.
example.
Mm-hmm.
Do they tend to follow those things that we would consider places of power, or is it... or is there not really a connection there?
I think it's the reverse. The places where the schools are and where people connect spiritually then rises as power as well.
Ah.
It starts out with the best of intentions all around. If you look at even how the United States of America was formed, the principles it was formed on in the beginning, where people came here and were willing to have freedom of expression, freedom of religion, wanting the highest ideals, when you look back at the beginning of our country and where people came with the energy that they had
mm-hmm.
and the freedom and the ability to, one, understand themselves at all levels, including spiritual,
mm-hmm.
and how quickly the United States of America grew to be a power within a very short span.
Yeah.
I think that gives you a perfect example of when people are connected with all of those things and trying to grow at all levels, how quickly everything else follows. People look at it reverse, but it's really the opposite.
That's so interesting. So these areas may have been created. As a result of these, that's what I'm thinking now, is that, you know, these places...
It attracted the power to it.
Well, they may have become
this,
these power
the
centers.
By pure thinking. Yeah.
As a result of this attitude of people, a desire for knowledge, all these things that can create these power centers, like you mentioned, Sedona, Arizona, you know, Egypt's my favorite example, too. These may be a result of these schools and why they are the places they are now, and they may have the monuments they have, too, you know, as in regards to Egypt, for example.
Sedona, I would say, actually is more of a natural, just sacred site, like an energy area,
yeah,
a vortex, as they describe,
yeah.
more than anything there happening as far as with a mystery school, with a consciousness in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other ones that are happening all around the country and around the world as well. And you look back at one of my favorites that I talk about in the book is the ancient Greek temple that they found still part of it standing with inscribed over the top, "Man, know thyself." And that was part of an ancient axiom, which was, "Man, know thyself, and thy will know God," meaning
mm-hmm.
that if you look within, if you take the spiritual path and you study, you then begin to understand the universe within and without from you. And once you begin to understand that, it kind of changes your mind and sets you on a different path of exploration to really understand your world and everything about it, but beginning within yourself.
Yes. God, is that true?
Well, that's also what,
God,
you know, I've heard that over and over. Even Edgar Cayce would say that, you know, go within.
Well, that's don't you think the majority, I mean, Doug and I, you know, this will keep it brief, but
okay.
just to illustrate this, okay, we in the private time off the air, we do our fair amount of complaining sometimes about certain things. Not complaining
who,
like...
Me?
Who, me? Yeah.
Yes.
We do our fair amount of, like, not complaining, I should say, but discussing, like, you know, why is this happening the way this
right,
is happening? It could
right.
be about
what's
a thing,
an
event,
yeah.
a person, anything. Right?
A drama.
Yeah,
whatever
it may be.
Yeah.
And we all, and I know we've discussed it in depth before. And Kayla, you might be able to help us with this, where we go, okay, why is this happening? And I know we always end up going back, especially when it comes to a person, where I go, that person, if they would just stop for a second and look at what they're doing and think about what's going on in their own mind, what's going on in their own heart, they may go, whoa, I'm really running the wrong path. But I think that they're blinded or they're just not, you know, pride is another thing, too, that will really can ruin your day real quick, too. They have all these things going on. They may be blind to whatever it is. They could have the pride aspects in there. And they don't look within. And that may be why their life is a wreck or they're making their life,
well,
you know, other people's lives a wreck.
I find a lot of things extend from people just don't really know what they want. You know,
okay.
People are like, I want it all. Well,
that's not easy to get.
You're not going to have it all.
Not everybody can be
yeah.
Bill Gates. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. But, Kate, I mean.
What kind of stuff? Because we talked about where and things like that. What What was it? Like, who would go to these, who would learn in these mystery schools? Is it just people who want to be enlightened or who have a calling to it? Or do, have people, like, just said, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to go here and I'm just going to completely, they just, like, get caught up in it.
Yeah.
How is it accidental? Is it on purpose? How do the mystery schools work as far as the people who are learning from them?
Those are all really good questions. Let me see if I can
try to reach
you
out one. Yeah, you asked the one.
I know, we laid it all out. Yeah, that's okay.
I guess we can start with. I guess we can start with the whole inner thing. You know.
But yeah, let me backtrack there with the inner thing.
Okay.
What mystery schools try to teach at the basic level, which is the neophyte level, which is the beginning level, which is what I write about in my book, is to begin to understand yourself first, because until you understand your emotions and your thoughts and what's going on within you, you can't really begin to understand the bigger picture. And by saying that, when you begin to understand your emotions and thoughts, you begin to understand your perceptions and to understand that everything is really a perception.
Yeah.
Like I try to explain, you could look at a scenario. All of us could go in a room now and observe something. I give at school an example. We could all go to the park and see a boy with a little red balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be standing there in the park. And your thought might be, oh, I wish I was a little boy again and could play in the park and had no responsibilities. And I might look and say, where's that child's mother? Why isn't anyone watching with this little boy?
That's what I would say, too.
And then a third person says, that balloon's going to go up in the air, and it's going to choke a seagull, and we're ruining the environment, and that's what's wrong with this country.
Yeah.
And everyone has a perception.
I'd be like, I bet that boy wants an ice cream cone. I think I'm going to go get an ice cream cone. That's my thought. I don't know.
Exactly.
But perception is everything. You're so right.
Perception is everything. Which one is the truth? Are they all the truth? Are none of them the truth? Does the boy even exist? I mean, we could really go to that level. So when you understand that, then you have to go back and look at everything you've learned again from the time you grew up, what society taught you, what your family taught you. Why do you think the way you do? Is that right? Or is that just the way that you were shown wherever you grew up, whatever your family told you, whatever you were told, even as a person, as a citizen, as everything.
Mm-hmm.
Once you begin to deconstruct that and take a look at it, then you see the world in new eyes. Then you can kind of see how you have done things or not done things that led to where you are in your life, whether you feel satisfied or dissatisfied. That's the beginning level of the mystery schools, which are open to everyone who's willing to explore that. The
mm-hmm.
mystery schools were often called esoteric, which means for the few. It doesn't mean few that only a few can join. It means few that only a few people are really ever wanting to look at this level about themselves and really think that deeply. Sometimes they're open at larger levels because, again, humanity at that time is more interested in that, and sometimes the numbers dwindle because less people are interested in doing it. But they've always been there, and like you were saying earlier, like everyone talks about know thyself and go within, that's because it's a universal truth. When you have a universal truth, it's there in every language. You don't need one person to tell you. You don't need one guru. You don't need one thing. It's universal. Everywhere, different groups, different organizations, different countries, societies, people agree with these universal truths. And that's what mystery schools are about, are those universal truths that never change over lifetimes, over millennia, over cultures. They extend beyond all that. And in essence, that's what they try to teach.
Hmm. So I guess that's why we keep complaining about that, then. It's something that'll never go away, and we'll never we're always going to try to keep understanding it and try to learn it. May not happen in this lifetime, but again, it's part of the adventure.
It is lifetimes, and that is an essence of the mystery school, is that we do come back. The soul does come back lifetime over a lifetime to have more experiences and to learn and grow. And humanity is, as itself, which mystery schools teach, is in various cycles where they come back and repeat, and each time we evolve a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. We only got a couple minutes before we have to go to break, but one thing I was looking at here was nine, and I think we may have touched on some of this stuff already, but just to kind of get formal with it, nine life-altering lessons.
Oh, you can't. That's the book, right?
There are nine lessons that we can discuss a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to get to all of them, Kayla.
In 4 minutes?
Well, not in 4 minutes, maybe after the break, but just to kind of start off with this, you know, first of all, yeah, why are they life-altering? These got to be pretty hardcore, pretty heavy, Kayla, if they're life-altering. I mean, when you say something like life-altering, I can probably name on one hand how many things I've had in my life, like lessons I've learned that were life-altering. So these got to be pretty heavy. Why are they life-altering?
Well, given the example we just discussed briefly, where I described that if you became aware of your perceptions, just like the boy in the park, and begin to think about everything that you've ever thought or considered to be true with every emotion you have attached to it, and you went to a school where you began to look at all that and to decide and unravel your life at that point, wouldn't you call that life-altering? Wouldn't that be something that could potentially change everything in your life? Well, that's what these nine lessons are. Each one of them touch on a different part of that.
Okay, I see. And what do they, I mean, we only got a couple seconds here, so if we can't,
we might have to.
Somebody shut my hole right now, okay? It's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do they teach? I mean, to be simple, what do they teach?
They teach things like the long-forgotten destiny of your soul. Why are you really here? Answering those age-old questions, who am I? Why am I here? Why do I exist? What's the purpose of me being here besides going through life, having a job, getting married, having a child, and then passing over? Is there more to it? What is self-realization? What is man know thyself, knowing those things? What is consciousness, as far as it can be understood at this point in our lives? What is our consciousness and how does it transform us? We touch into universal truths, which go back to the ancient schools and esoteric wisdom there. We talk about the magical universe that we live in. There are certain teachings that are called more New Age teachings now that try to go into that and talk about those things and at different levels as they appeal to the masses. But we go in a little deeper to that, into about what is the magic of the universe, the energy that's here, how we're all a sea of energy floating in that and how that affects us. It's also awakening to your higher self, understanding that we have a lower self that works through ego and a higher self that transcends through that. And when we do, what does that open up for us and what happens at that point? Also, it explains our connectedness to the entire universe with the ancient axioms. They were called Hermetic teachings of as above, so below. And what is the microcosm and the macrocosm of each of that? What is within us is without. Everything that we do that has purpose, everything that action has a reaction. Universal teachings and ancient teachings like that that explain cause and effect, action and reaction, what you do, how it comes back to you, and how it affects you. And it's, you know, in this book here, again, it's just touching on the neophyte teachings, where a person would decide to even begin to explore these and go deeper, then passing over to the next level, which would be an initiate level, which is where you go beyond the knowledge into the wisdom, which is where you apply all this, all the teachings, all of the wisdom into action and begin to live them, which is even more life-altering.
My ears are, there's smoke coming out of my ears.
She just did what we did to her earlier.
Yeah, we did.
With that one question.
Yes,
so
we got
pulled it right back around and made it on a...
Well, that's when radio hosts talk to radio hosts.
That's what happens.
What we gotta do is like process this stuff on the break, right? And then try to come back with something. Kayla, hang on
like
the line.
Whiskey or something. I don't know.
Everybody else out there, hang on the line. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And we'll be back here with Kayla Ambrose talking about everything.
And while we're gone, exploreyourspirit.com. Load that up in your browsers.
Would you like to listen to Ghostly Talk live on your cell phone? Perhaps you have a comment for us or our guests. All you have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, dial 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Paul with the SEPS Paranormal Podcast. Check us out twice a month where we will be discussing our most recent paranormal investigations here in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
You can find us at www.sepsparanormal.podshow.com or go to our website, sepsparanormal.org.
Or you can subscribe to iTunes. Just type in SEPS Paranormal in the search field. Come by and check us out.
Don't lay with the ghost by my side.
Yeah. How to end. ghostly by my side. The flowers will bloom if you want them.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
So before the break, we took a real pounding.
Yeah, and I can't process all that in just one break. but that
was a lot. It was a lot of, you know, the majority of it was an average day in my head.
Probably.
You know, asking these questions, like, who am I? Where do I fit? What is this huge thing we call existence? Is this head of Cleopatra really here in the studio next to you, Doug? I mean, all these, you know, metaphysics and all these... Well, she's got a Jason mask on, I know.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. But I ask a lot of these, not insane questions, but they're out there questions.
We need to unravel all that on a different show.
Okay.
Because we also, when we went to break,
yeah,
we were talking about something that Kayla is extremely excited about.
Mm.
And I think we need to talk about it because it's really, I think it's good for the paranormal community. And I think we need to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, first of all, don't forget the website, Kayla's website is exploreyourspirit.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find out about all the different stuff we've been talking about for the in the previous segment and more.
Yeah,
right?
Because
there's still a list that we just haven't even gotten to of stuff that Kayla's involved in.
One thing, if I could just touch in real quick.
Yeah.
I know we were talking about a lot of big concepts, and people want to break that down into what does that mean for me, or what is something at a smaller level I can do?
Yeah.
Which, you know, we all need to do. We all have busy lives and things going on. And one of them is what you guys are doing right now, which is communication and the power of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting on our planet that the only species, really, that can speak, that we understand at least, is humanity. And when we understand energy and that energy doesn't die, it just changes form, the same thing happens with the power of a word.
Mm-hmm.
And I explain this in the book. I ask people to picture their home for a moment and to think about the conversations that have been said in their home for the past year. If you can picture that, picture the fact that words have, let's say, a sticky substance to them. They're an energy, and they don't quite evaporate.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine these words are stuck to your home, to your walls, everywhere inside. What does your wallpaper look like in your home? What is the energy that you're putting into your home? What kind of words do you say? If we stop and even think about that at a personal level and do nothing else, do none of these other 9 life-altering lessons.
Yeah.
Do nothing to that extent that we want to dedicate that much time to studying at a mystery school or anything at that level. If we just begin to understand the power of our words and what we put out energetically every day with who we speak to, how we speak to them, how we treat people in our home, in our business, and everywhere, imagine the energy and how we affect our word and world every day on a daily level with everyone we come across. If we could even connect with that and take one point from that away from the book, we could transform our lives and everyone around us with the power of the word. And interesting, when we look back at history and the stories that were talked about how this universe was created, it begins. It all began with the word, the power of the word.
I'm just trying to think of what in my house here.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
where do you want to go to dinner tonight?
Well, we've
had that's all we say around here.
We've had those two parties at my new house.
Oh, God.
I don't want to even think about that. No, we...
Well, your curse words. They were looking how to clean it as well from those type of things.
Well, good, good.
You know, there is the power of the word, but...
happy parties.
There is the power of the word, but there's the attitude behind the word, too.
Yeah,
you know,
energy.
And
that's what adds the energy.
Yeah, to. And that's a big part of it too. I mean, you know,
the attitude and intention
to create a positive environment, you know, within your home, which is, you know, that's kind of what we're talking about right now. You know, it is attitude. It's creating an environment. It's making a home a home. Right? I always say there's houses and then there's homes. I always tell people, you know, some people have a house and then some people actually have a home, and that's a totally different animal because, you know, a home has a mood. when you come there.
Absolutely.
And you feel that. And that's a good mood. It should be a good mood. If it's a bad mood, then it's not a home. It's a house.
Right. Right.
Everything retains an energy, which, of course, in ghost hunting as well, in paranormal investigations, we see that as well. There are antiques that carry an energy that have been in a home.
Mm-hmm.
They can be disruptive if you bring them into your home.
Mm-hmm.
There are homes that have energy imprints that are left behind from things that were done there. Some of them are so strong that they leave imprints that we pick up.
Mm-hmm.
We see this energy over and over. We're still trying to study it, of course, and understand it at many levels,
yeah.
But we're all aware of it in one form or another. But if we can take that back to ourselves and realize that we're energy as well, leaving energy imprints everywhere, what kind of imprint do you leave wherever you go?
I think I probably leave a really, really happy, outgoing...
oh, you're miserable. Shut up.
Heads. No, I'm not.
No, I'm kidding.
I
no,
do get confused.
Most days he is.
Yeah,
but
no,
usually I'm like uber happy.
He lives in denial, too.
And I live in denial.
You're taking a pounding now.
I am.
No, you do leave a good
phone conversation after.
No, you always. No, you always. You know, I've said this a gazillion times on the show, Doug, and you know, you always leave a great impression on anybody. As far as setting a mood or an environment for something, you always do a good job on that. It's always a positive thing. So there's your feather in your cap for tonight. You told me earlier.
Yay.
How great of a hugger I was. So I'll tell you how nice of a dude you are. You know,
well,
no,
thank you.
No,
thank
you. It's a positive environment you always create. Whatever we do. So, and we do a lot of projects together, so I know.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing with that. You know, you are doing some work with the Ryan Institute.
Yeah, the Ryan Research Center.
Yeah, the Ryan Research Center.
And we had talked to Sally Ryan Feather.
Yeah, we got to meet her.
We got to meet her,
a couple years ago, which was just like, having to sit in an elevator by yourself with, you know, Dr. Sally Ryan Feather, that was a trip, I have to say. Because, I mean, we've been familiar with her work for so many years, and to meet some, it was one of those people that I know when we met, we were like, you know, a bit starstruck, like, wow, this person has years.
Well, and she had described some of the early days of the Ryan Research Center, because obviously, you know, J.B. Ryan did wasn't he famous for the Zener cards and everything like that?
Mm-hmm.
And all that work on ESP, I mean, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's a huge cutting edge at the time, you know, body of work.
Yeah.
And you're, are you the executive director of the Ryan Research Center?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about something on your shoulder.
That's
this
amazing.
This is part of my life vision. As much as I'm passionate about teaching, the mystery school teachings and all of this, and that is my spiritual side, one of the things I'm most passionate about in this lifetime is to bring spirituality and science together,
mm-hmm.
to work together to help uncover deeper of these mysteries. And if both sides can communicate and speak to each other, imagine how much quicker we can unravel these things and discuss them and hopefully lead to a better growth for both sides.
Yeah.
So I like to take action on my thoughts and what I believe and what I'm passionate about. So I decided to take on that direction as well, and hopefully to bring that together in much larger ways, including conferences we're doing and a variety of programs that we're going to be offering online as well as in-house and that we do, and I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, and that's, like you said, Doug, also, that is quite quite an undertaking to be executive director like that.
Oh,
what did you have that magnitude?
I mean, well, to take over the reins of something that meaningful, you know, to and historical... I mean, you have to probably like meditate for quite a while to figure out, okay, is this really right for me? But you're right. You do exhibit that passion, and Kayla, and I think that's it's undoubtedly in the right hands.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I'm looking to, I became executive director earlier this year, in February of this year, and I have a lot of ambitious plans of things that we want to do. I want to have a conference in early 2009 that's going to be where both sides are able to come together and talk and to share so that we explore the scientific community and continue with the research we're doing, which is very valuable, but as well reaching out with education to the public and working with people who are spiritually connected and to bring that together as well, because that is as important. And as well, we're going to be expanding our field research, doing more of what the Ryan has done all along. We've had a history of studying the psi and the paranormal, everything from poltergeists to psi experiences to the experiencers themselves, and we're developing our field research as well. And we've just announced, I think about a month ago, our alliance with Paranormal State. We're going to be working with Paranormal State and with their field research, and we'll be helping them with our research in the lab and working together, which is very exciting.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah,
that is.
And anything to push forward. I would say still, if you're going to have a conference and you're going to bring the soft side and the hard side together, which is the more spiritual side and the scientific side, I would still invest in a couple of Nerf bats just to be careful, just in case, you know. Because, I mean, even though, I mean, we talk to all types, yeah, all sorts of people. We have our own opinions.
Well, that's the thing about being, you know, radio talk show hosts is we talk to, like, the entire gamut from,
yeah,
you know, A to Z. And
yeah,
and
sure, you deal with the same thing also.
And yeah. And so when we have, you know, we hear opinions all the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes I can see where it might be a little difficult.
Oh, yeah.
To pull all these, you know, people together.
Mm.
But if anybody can do it, Kayla, I think it's probably you and the Ryan Research Center.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you. I love a challenge, and I think this time has come. It's the 21st century. We all need to get together, and we need to start talking and working together. And I think this is being showed everywhere in our world, whether it's the state of the country, the state of economics, the state of the world, global issues, everything. We're all connected. We're all one. I talk about that on Explore Your Spirit, that it's many paths, one destination, meaning that we all learn in different ways. We all choose our path, but we're all looking for that same one destination of knowing ourselves, our world, and beyond in a greater way. So we're all doing that in our own ways, which I have the greatest respect for.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can do something just to help people connect it one way or the other, whether it's spiritually or scientifically, I'm happy to do so and to be of service.
Well, here's a question. I mean, that's an interesting idea, you know, that we all are looking for the same thing, essentially. We want answers to a lot of the same questions. But why is it that some people that are on their journey, you know, this is just a question, that some people on their journey to these, you know, to understand enlightenment and get all these things, they are destructive in certain ways, though. I mean, like you just said a second ago, there's wars going on. There's all these things going on in the world right now. Gas prices are going through the roof. There's all these negative things going on. It astounds me that, you know, there are people still that, you know, and I agree. I think everybody is kind of looking for the same thing in life. We're all looking to, number one, to be happy, really about ourselves, I think, at the end of the day, and be fulfilled that we're doing the right things. But it seems like there's a lot of destructive personalities or self-destructive personalities out there, too. Are they still on that path, or have they kind of fallen off that path? You follow what I'm saying, Kayla?
I do. I'll give you the mystics' opinion on this.
Okay.
And what the teachings say, the mystery teachings, which is that humanity still at the level that it's currently at still is most active when they have a negative experience.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
You know, when things get commonplace or easy, people have a tendency not to grow or want to evolve or to push themselves very hard,
mm-hmm.
and they need some type of negative stimuli to inspire them to action.
Yeah.
That's not how we're meant to be at the soul level, but we still seem to be there.
I've never had, this is me, and I know this is, I can't remember a conversation I've had in the last, let's say, a couple years where it was from point A to point B, where it was like, so how are you doing, Scott? Oh, man, everything is wonderful. The show is going great. You know, everything is wonderful. My relationships are perfectly tuned. They are right where they need to be. Car is running awesome. The house is perfectly clean and smells wonderful. I am right where I need to be, point B. Right? I don't think I've ever had a conversation like that. I don't think anybody's had a conversation
well,
like that.
Well, look at it. All of society is like that. You turn on the television, which
chaos drama
I
thing,
never
know?
Turn on the television anymore. I pretty
I'm
much
sorry,
never. I think I've seen, what, 4.5 hours in the past 5 months of television.
And that was Eminem.
And it was... yes,
8 Mile.
I watched
of
8 Mile.
Films,
that was it.
Yeah.
And I just don't do it because when you turn on the TV, instead of saying, oh my... I mean, they do an occasional piece, right? An occasional human interest story.
Yeah,
about,
yeah.
Oh, you know, little Timmy in this little town and, you know... Africa, he wasn't eating, and then they, you know, flew him to the U.S.
Sally Struthers was throwing down.
Did an operation and flew him back into China. You know, and it's cute, and it's you know, but it, you know, there's like very little good.
Oh, it's
stuff.
In the toilet now. I know
there's,
you agree with me, Kayla.
It's almost
it's in the
non-existent.
Toilet. It's garbage.
The stuff. So I noticed that.
And people do respond. You just said it, Kayla, and that is the key to it. I know just doing this show. You know, we've always tried to keep the whole, you know, there's always going to be controversy, debate, you know, on ideas, and that's healthy. We want that here.
Big one.
And we want to discuss these things, but in a friendly environment, a learning environment, in a non-dramatic Jerry Springer type environment, right? And we know that turns some people off. Because there isn't that dramatic element or that negative stimuli that we don't do that here, right? And I know some people just don't get into that. I know, but I think people generally do respond more to negative stimuli than positive stimuli. I'm 100% with you on that, Kayla.
I'm also under the philosophy and belief that all that happens eventually happens for good. And while we're in the midst of something bad happening to us, we usually don't say that and aren't excited about it. But eventually good does result from it.
Yeah.
Even if you look at the internet, which, you know, I would say this generation here, we have been the most affected by the power of the internet and the freedom that it was given to us.
Mm-hmm.
The ways we can express, learn, the fact that we and our children can Google anything and have an answer in a minute rather than having to drive to a library and research for days is astounding. But yet look at the internet. It was created, you know, to do with war.
It was a pride of the military.
At that time. It was, yeah, it was a military project is how it began.
Mm-hmm.
So all that happens eventually happens for the good.
Yeah, and there are a lot of issues, I think, with the internet presently, too. But, you know, I think maybe at the end of the day, you know, and like I've said this before, too, Doug, you know, we both agreed on this.
We met because of the internet.
Yeah, we met because of the internet, but we both have bad days.
Yeah.
We're both like, oh, my God, I just want to end it right here. Just let me find something to jump off of and just be done with this. But I know what gets me through it is, okay, this is all happening for a reason. There's a lesson to learn from this.
Right.
And tomorrow, it's going to be over with.
It's going to be completely different. Your perspective changes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I wish people would think that far ahead. And,
we're a fast food society.
Yeah, you know, gratify me now, gratify me now. You know, whatever. Okay, off the soapbox I go.
And I think TV will evolve from that as well. Just like anything, when people are denied something, they want it more. The fact that everything is available now on TV and things are being played out to the level in some way exposes people to that, but people can have too much where they're finally tired of it and said, I've had enough, and go on to something else.
That's what I've done.
Yeah.
Its own way.
Same here.
That's exactly what I've done. I haven't seen but four and a half hours of TV in the past 5 months, and I got fed up.
I will admit, though, and you know this, Doug, I like that Forensic Files show.
Right.
But what is that, though? I'm as much of a part of this consequence we're talking about where, I mean, what is Forensic Files? Well, it's a show about people that get murdered, and they have to figure out why they've been murdered. It's about as negative as it gets. It's a horrible
negative.
Well,
yeah, but you're also unraveling a mystery.
It's interesting.
I find
cool,
it,
still,
it's an intellectual challenge.
It's intellectual, but it's still a result of a negative piece of stimuli. You follow what I'm saying? I mean,
well, it's
murder's not a good thing.
Sensationalizing. Yeah.
Yeah, I still find it's still pretty interesting.
But, like, for example,
I think some people are drawn to that to understand. It gives them a sense of understanding and a sense of being able to put these things together and have a sense of control in a world that sometimes feels like beyond their control.
Yeah. Totally. Oh, yeah, I agree. We only got a couple minutes here, unfortunately, Kayla. What do we want
to
do?
I don't know. There's so many topics we didn't even get to.
I know.
How about just the general, what's coming up for you, for the Ryan Research Center, for your in your books? What's on the horizon for you, Kayla?
I appreciate that. Well, my book, I'd just like to say, is 9 Life-Altering Lessons, Secrets of the Mystery Schools Unveiled. And I'm working on a workbook now soon to be coming out with this, because so many people have read the book, really enjoyed it, and said, that's great, but I don't have a mystery school in my area. Mm-hmm. Is there a workbook or something that I can do to take these steps and make these changes? So that will be coming out soon, as well as a line of CDs I've just created that are guided meditations, which instead of it being more passive, they're more active. They help you in your meditation and to go through an experience. One of them, I take you through Egypt and back into ancient Egypt, and you go meet your guide from that time. And
I'm there.
It helps you to step into that and engage to it. So those will be coming out soon. With the Rhine, of course, like I said, we have many exciting programs. We're going to be doing a paranormal conference and ghost hunt and research field trip this October. And then we have the consciousness conference coming, which will be in March of next year. My school, of course, is Temple of Stella Maris, if anyone is interested or wants to know more about the school, that's at templeofstellamaris.org.
Mm-hmm.
And the book can also be found at 9lessons.com with more information there about the book and what's done. So
you got more websites than Microsoft, I swear to God.
You are super busy.
No, you are.
And she, yes, she took on all this stuff for not only, you know, for people's humanity, but also for the paranormal. And
yeah.
We didn't even talk about the Rowan Society.
No, well, you know what that means? Guess what that means within the audience?
I'm coming back.
You got to come back. We'd love to have you come back sometime, Kayla. We had a great time talking to you.
As these things start coming to fruition, you know, the workbook or the conferences and the special events and stuff. Come back. We'll chat for an hour and we'll say, hey, don't forget, coming up next month is this.
We'll get back. Yeah, we'll have you come back on sometime down the road and talk about all this stuff. It'd be great.
I really appreciate it. I want to say I love all three of your energy. It's just a wonderful
thank
show.
Thank
kind of dark, isn't it? Kayla, hang on the line. Don't leave us just yet, okay?
Don't forget, Kayla's, one of her websites is exploreyourspirit.com.
Mm-hmm.
All run together, no spaces, no hyphens. We had talked earlier with Ken Berg, of course.
Oh, yeah.
PsychicKen.com.
Psychic.
And, of course, Mike. And, of course, Mike Robert from Central Ohio Paranormal.com. Mm-hmm. We have to thank all of our guests from tonight.
Great show, man. I like coming back. We get some time off and we're doing our thing and things get changed. And we come back here and we come back strong, and I'm really happy. I had a great time tonight. So
everybody
else enjoyed or enjoys the show.
I learned a lot, and wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What a great, we're off and running.
Yeah, next weekend we'll be back here for a change.
Yeah. Two weekends in a row we're going to do a show.
Imagine.
In the middle of summer. That's unheard of.
It's insane. But okay, well, let's just, okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Just breathe.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, all of our guests. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. We hope you learned something. You, of course, go to those websites. Websites we mentioned
are
permanently linked up at ghostlytalk.com.
Ghostly Talk!
You have been listening to Ghostly Talk Paranormal Talk Radio. The Ghostly Talk audio program is distributed for free under the Open Content License. Please share with all your friends and support independent media.